Well, let me welcome everybody streaming with us. We had over 500 people the other day streaming. That could be as many as 1,000 to 1,500 people. When you figure 2.8 people, I think it's 2.8, where they get one live stream. And then today, we got a number of the congregations who are able to still meet together if they're under 10. We got an email from Chuck, and he was suggesting that maybe the Church of God Ministries, international ministers, that maybe to tune in on the third Sabbath of the month. I said, well, if we do something like that, then maybe we can make something special on the third Sabbath, and we could, make it like announcements, and we can kind of make it an important day also, and keep everybody abreast of what's going on around the world. That'd be really good, so we're going to be working on that also. Then all for the guest churches, because we got a lot of guest churches. I call them guest churches. They're associate churches, fellowship ministers. Who've been tuning in for the last 2 years, and that's been growing pretty rapidly over the last year. So it's really nice to know that we can help be a part of people's lives in feeding important information, meat that God says in due season. And today, meat in due season is expanding far beyond holy days. I mean, this is like events are happening today that's affecting people's lives. You hear the prayer requests, it's not just people being sick, people dying. Families need to be secured and cared for. Let them know they're loved. And, it's really sad when you have a loved one dying in a hospital and nobody can be around them. Never thought I'd see a day like that, but that's where we are today. We received a phone call from Liz Breland. In fact, we went to Audrey, my wife, and they're very close friends. And Larry Somerville, who is one of our founding ministers, who had retired some years ago because of his eyesight and other conditions, went to the hospital, as you heard me do a prayer request. He caught COVID-19 and just took him down very rapidly, and he passed away, I think Thursday, I think it was Thursday morning. It might have been Wednesday morning, but I think Thursday morning he passed away. So anyway, pray for the Somervilles and the Breland family also. Then we got an uplifting phone call from Anna Sammons this morning. Manus actually went to the doctor yesterday, and they got a positive report. Very good. I mean, I was going to say he's used positive report, an uplifting report. He does need an operation, but it's one that shouldn't be too traumatic on him for his health and his age. So keep praying for Manus Sammons, who is another founding minister for our church. So anyway, we're going to pray for those two also. And I wanted to just mention up front, if for some reason there's a streaming problem today, we found from Cox, they're overtaxed with everybody streaming a lot of things. So on Saturdays, I guess a lot of video people watching movies. I doubt that a lot of them are going to church online, though there's some are, the Sabbath keepers. So if we lose you, try to get back in. It's the streaming service we use, which is Cox here in New Orleans. And we pay a high price for a large streaming volume, so we shouldn't have a problem, and you should not be buffering. So hopefully you're not, so everything is working well. So I think that's all I have for announcements right now. Except for phones, if anybody still gets your phones up, turn them down. And so I think that's it. Any other announcements I needed to make other than welcoming everybody here today? All righty. I'm ready to do part two of a sermon series. I don't know how to title this of being excited or terrified in the middle of all the excitement. I was thinking about this as I'm working on this sermon called Lessons from Lincoln. And you got to pull in a lot of history, a lot of information to be able to share the information I want to share with you in this subject of Lessons from Lincoln. It is so powerful of where we're at that I'm finding that the answers I need to tell you the story of conditions where we are today, what I'm learning from this, goes back to the timeline series that we've been working on for 7 years. It's really amazing that where we're at today, Abraham Lincoln went through a period of time that we are about to move into over the next few years, moving into what he had as a civil war. Well, you and I, whether we realize it or not, are also in the march toward a civil war. And it didn't happen overnight. And if you remember 1858, Abraham Lincoln gave a speech about a house divided cannot stand. And before that, as early as the 1839, the Lyceum Address, he talked about a house who would have to be collapsed, would collapse from within. So God gave him special insight, and we got a little video we'll play toward midway, a little longer into this sermon today, which we played before, which is from Governor Huckabee. and from David Barton. And we're realizing that the special in those interviews that we had with those gentlemen are more relevant today than they were 5 years ago. So it's amazing what God has done and placed our church in to be able to lay this information out in a timeline and be able to picture where we're at and where we're going. You know, the interesting thing is that this is not a message on prophecy. None of the timeline series are prophecy. We don't try to prophesy anything. Simply take information that God has revealed. And as we understand from Daniel, at the end time, he says he was going to take information that was sealed, and he was going to unseal it for the end time. And as we understand, and you're going through today, just like myself, we're going through periods that we never understood before. So all of this comes together. When you see this timeline come out, knowing where we're going, it's terrifying, but it's exciting at the same time. So now, this is where we began with the story through a sermon that I gave actually back in February, talking about a cloud on the horizon, talking about Abraham Lincoln. Where Abraham Lincoln, he possessed a quick intuition of human nature. In other words, he had a discernment of people being able to understand right from wrong, where he was at and where they were going. And it was because of his biblical background. He grew up from a religious family, so he had a lot of his roots you just filtered through the Bible. So when he would talk to people and understand people, it came through the filtering of God's holy word. So he said this: before being elected president, Abraham Lincoln spoke of removing slavery as the ominous clouds of civil war. And as I was reading a little bit about his history just again this week, trying to bring some more understanding into these messages, he was talking about information as early as his childhood that he said he couldn't remember a time when he didn't believe slavery was wrong. So as he went into politics, he knew that moving into the government, and especially running for an office of the President of the United States, being that the nation was deeply entrenched in slavery in the South, and something he was totally against by his elder years, he knew that it would bring about a problem because he'd have to do something about it. Somewhere in this sermon series, not today, but somewhere in this sermon series, we're going to take it from this and tie it into a scripture where God says, he looked for a man to stand in the gap, and he found none. Well, during this period of time, he found a man. The message for us today is that if there's no man to stand in a gap, the slavery, what Satan is trying to put us under, will happen. We need to understand that. Because the battle that we're going into is a spiritual battle. Now, after being elected president, and after the Civil War had begun, Lincoln spoke of another very dark cloud on the horizon. And that's what began to open up this series of sermons that I'm giving you today, because I had never heard this before. And when I went looking for it, it was all over the internet, but it was almost like it was sealed. Like it didn't have any relevance for what we're talking about today. So after he was elected, he talked about this very dark cloud, and this is what he said. I see a very dark cloud on our horizon. This is after he was elected president. And that dark cloud is coming from Rome. Now, I read about that in a sermon that I did just a couple months ago on a cloud on the horizon. And I'm going to bring a little bit in today, and I'll bring a little bit more to the next sermon, because it will be at least three pieces to this sermon series. So now, let's pick up the story to see how all of this applies in putting it into a timeline for where we're at and trying to make sense of all of this. Now, if you're looking at the timeline here, all the way over here is 2017 is where we began to mark. All right, we begin again to mark an important event that you can put in history that actually took place in the heavens. What it means is an interpretation, and people can have their own interpretations or not, trying to understand exactly what that meant. Now, here's the thing. This is not prophecy. So when people write in, if I'm saying that this event and this event, I'm simply putting a timeline together. I'm not trying to prophesy this is things that are going to happen. But when you put these events together with what took place in the Bible in the past, a physical understanding of what actually took place in history Old Testament and now in current days, and you match it up to here, there's an unmistakable parallel of duality that takes place. And that's what we're bringing out in these series. So now, this timeline, now we're going to take the same timeline. We're going to take now and talk about approaching civil war. So each one of our series, when we went through the timeline, it covered a different aspect of timeline, bringing out a different piece of the puzzle of what God was laying out. Each series built on a previous series of understanding we didn't know before. So what you're looking at is 7 years of information. Now, when we get into this series for the next 10 years of bringing us to 20, 30, and 31, and we've talked about that before, of Jesus Christ being in 2,000 years and in the third year he would dwell in our face, we would dwell in his face, brings us to this time period. All right? That's not our prophecy, that's God's prophecies. All right? That comes right out of the Bible where we're at there. So today we're going to talk about approaching civil war and how it ties into false prophets and the first seal. We're going to use the same timeline, cover three different aspects of the same timeline. Today. We do all that today. All right. So that's the foundation for where we're going. So now we take the movement from 2017 to where we are today. So you just seen I just moved the story to 2020. All right. So now what I just brought here is I took what we're looking at, you see on the top, if you keep that, we'll keep that screen up, Jeff. I asked Jeff to keep that up a little longer today so you can see it. You have the time for Christ coming back, 14 years, which means 7 years lean and 7 years of plenty, which we see before the going into captivity into the land of Egypt. So we have the same timeline available from the time that Christ talks about him coming back to the star alignment of 2017. So now, 2024, there's a couple of points here in 2024. If you haven't been covering this before, let me just back up for just a second and stop. 2024, there's something taking place. It's called an election. That's the next election after 2020, the election this year for President of the United States. Remember what I told you at the beginning of this, where God said he looked for a man who would stand in the gap. 2024 could be the period of time referencing one of the events God's talking about for the man standing in the gap. Now, that's not talking about you and I not standing in the gap or his elect, because God says they're going to be the small remnant who are going to do that. God's talking about, and sometimes when he sees this, is a nation where God has the way the leadership of the nation went. They had good kings and they had bad kings in Israel and Judah, remember? So as the king went, so went the nation. As this nation goes with its presidency, so goes the nation. And you see that more than ever because they've changed the laws to fit the ideology of what's right and wrong. Like right now, if the left got in, you would see the full movement back into abortion and everything that goes with that and the gay rights and all, because that's what they say they're going to do if they get elected. That's not a secret. That's not putting them down. That's a fact. That's what they say they're going to do. All right? So go now. The 2024 called the Miskey moment. Now, that's a period of time when the United States basically just runs out of money. Everything it produces just pays the interest on the debt. Now, we showed how that's going to move up because of where we're at now because of this virus. And I'm going to show you something really interesting with this virus on this timeline that you probably never thought about before. It doesn't mean that's going to happen in 2024. But that was a five-year projection by the federal government themselves, that would happen then. And I received an email from somebody, so I said, I'm glad you didn't stick with 2024, you moved it to 2022. Well, it's not me picking it out. That's the government saying that's what they're going to do. I'm simply pointing out facts from history and from the government themselves, right? Going on. So now, the U.S. government said they're going to be in a debt spiral, was 5 years away, and that came out in May 15th, 2019. According to the Treasury, the Department of Management, the U.S. government is 5 years away from the point where every new dollar it borrows from the public will go toward funding interest payments and national debt. So now, that was before the virus. Since the virus, $2.3 trillion just given away, basically. The Federal Reserve now is at that 4.7 or $4.8 trillion of debt that it's bought that it has no way to pay back. That means he's just funneled that into the economy. So we're in this bubble that's incredible about debt. So this is going to move, and that's what I was showing in the previous sermon. So now, this is what I did. I moved it up 2 years only because we were at a debt of $1 trillion of GDP every year additional debt. So we moved it to 2022, I moved it to, because we just gave away an extra $2 trillion. In the middle of all this, we have the debt moving in. Now we see the opponent of the Civil War rising to the surface. Right? So if you were looking at this north and south, you would now see godly, ungodly. You see all of this lining up. Now, amazingly, this was lined up that the very meeting he was supposed to have was to be held on May 14th, which was the anniversary of the establishment of modern-day Israel. Now, these things don't happen by accident. These events need to tell us something. That's some of this timeline series of what we've been through that actually does that. So what you're looking at now, you see Christ's return somewhere around 2030, 31. I don't know that that's going to happen. So I say this every single sermon that I say this because I'm not predicting these dates. These are biblical dates that God gave us from prophecy, and you go back and you can look at them. They're there. It doesn't mean they're going to happen here. Because as the scripture says in Revelation, when he's about to blow the seventh trump, God says, don't blow the trump, go back and warn him again. It could move it further. But then there's a scripture in Matthew 24 says, for the elect's sake, he's going to cut time short. So now he's going to move it shorter. So even if you figured it out, you got it wrong. That's why God says nobody knows. But what he's done is this. He's given us a blueprint of his plan. And he's done that for a reason, because right now, between now and whenever this is the most critical time for God's people that's ever been. Because the entire world rests on the salvation. It says, if not for the elect's sake, no flesh would be saved. So now, what happens between 2020 and here? All right, so that's what we're talking about now. All right, so now what happens there? Between now and then, there's a coming spiritual war. This is a civil war. It's a civil war between the Vatican and Christ. Now, what's absolutely amazing is that not only was he going to have his education day to kick off the realignment of the world, he was going to have it in that building. That building, they were going to put 7,000 people, and they built it to look like a serpent. How bold is that? Now, if a person can't see this alignment of the timeline, something's wrong. I mean, none of this is made up. This is real. And we need to put it in our heads. This is not something theoretical. This is not just some prophetic insert that somebody says, well, you know, this might happen. You have just moved into hurricane season. And now that hurricane season has a timeline and has a target, we know where it's going. It's eventually going after God's elect. So now, let's take all that information now. Let's see what Abraham Lincoln had to say. He said, as the southern leaders of the Civil War with the big and small wheels of our railroad cars, those who ignore the laws of mechanics are apt to think that are large and strong and noisy wheels they see are the motive power, they are mistaken. In other words, if we just look at the politicians today, we just look at the news, that they're going to buy us out of this virus and we're all going to be fine. We're going to go back to the way it was. You're buying this scenario, what he's saying here, the big noisy wheels. He said, that's not the issue here. He said, the issue is not the noisy wheels. Look what he says. He said, the real power is not the seen. It is the noiseless, the well-concealed, in the dark, behind its iron walls. The motive power are the few well-concealed pails of water heated into steam, which itself directed by the noiseless, small, but unerring engineer's finger. It's as if you can see the Pope behind the closed walls. He's got his buckets. He's creating the steam to run the power to begin the launch of the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln, he said, he saw it. He said, but I saw it after I was in power. So he knew what he was dealing with. He went on to say, the common people see and they hear the big, noisy wheels of the Southern Confederacy. They call Jeff Davis, Lee, Toombs, Beauregard, Sims, etc. And they honestly think that they are the motive power that caused our big our troubles. He said, but that is a mistake. He said, the true motive power is secreted behind the thick walls of the Vatican. That was written after he was president over 100 years ago. And now what God has laid out here for us, I've always talked about the former physical, the latter spiritual, is you see a former physical civil war lining up with the same enemy, the Vatican. The spirit behind the Vatican, he went on to say, the colleges, the schools, and the Jesuits. So what is the Pope trying to do today? Re-educate the entire world for humanism. Get rid of your beliefs. Get rid of your doctrines. They're not going to do you any good. We're going to have an environmental change. It's going to be humanism that's going to save us. He went on to say, the convents and the nuns and the confessional boxes of Rome. That was the problem he saw. And that's why he could win the Civil War, but he could not win the long-term battle because the spirit driving the Civil War was not the South. It was the mental conception of slavery and control and domination over people and removing God. Now, let's compare that to today. God gives us three specific insights. One is the structure. And this is what I went over last week, so I'm going to give a review now in case you missed that. One is the structure, which is God's plan for salvation. That's the overall picture of what we're looking at, what we're understanding. Two, it is the framework. And what God uses is a framework. When you build a building, behind the facade, there's a framework that goes up. That events that happen at any given point of time in the structure. Then there's a period of preparation. The preparation is the nation, the knowledge needed to function within the structure and the framework at any given point in time. You and I, believe it or not, God has given us the structure and the framework, and now we're in the preparatory stage of how that applies today to protect us into this most critical time in history. So now, if I put it into a physical facade so you can see it, there's your structure. You look at it from a distance. There's a building, there's a structure, it's fine. So now, if I went to and I removed the structure to see the framework, I would simply do this. There. There's your framework. Now, in the framework, there's a preparation. That would be the blueprints of everything that needs to go on to tell you how to do this safely so the building doesn't collapse. You are in the blueprint right now. You're in the preparation period that's going to move in the most critical time in history so that when things begin to happen, they're going to happen faster and faster, worse and worse. It's going to make today, and what we're looking at this virus, believe it or not, look like child's play. All right? So what I'm telling you is true. When God showed the prophets in the Old Testament what they were going to go through, the prophets fell sick. Some couldn't even stand up. Their legs collapsed. They fell on the leaves and they fell on the ground. And God had to pick them up and strengthen them. Simply because they looked in their vision of where God gave them and they couldn't handle what was coming. God himself says, look, it's a time like no other time in history. And he says in the book of Revelation, he says, blessed is he who dies in the Lord from this day forward. And it reaches a time that it's going to be so bad in the history of mankind, God says, you're better off dead than going through it. I don't know about you, but I can't fathom it. I mean, I went through Katrina. I was here after Katrina. And God put something in my heart and in my stomach that never leaves me. It's a constant drive. And what I believe he's given me the insight here to understand what's going on because it was real. From that day forward, it's never been something if. It's real. And until people get this in their minds that it's real and start preparing and knowing what God's coming, you're not going to be ready. That's why he's given us this preparation time. So this is, let's look at that in the spiritual realm. All right, so one, this is the structure for mankind. God gave us 7,000 years for mankind. 6,000 years, 6,000 years, Christ returns at the end. He was crucified right before the 4,000th year. All right, 2,000 years later, he's resurrected around the 6,000. Then we have a millennial reign. That's the basic blueprint. God's building his plan for mankind. So in the structure now, so if we went into this structure and we wanted to see how it's built, God gives us now, by understanding his word, former and latter, physical, spiritual, duality and time, any given point on his time that's important to salvation, he gives us the information, we build a structure. All right, during that period of structure, we took away the facade of that building. We went and looked at the structure on the inside of it. Then I want to get into how is that built, that section right there. Then we go back and God gives us, tells us how it's built and how it applies. So now I picked right here because that's an important starting date for the fulfillment of going into the return of Christ, 1917. So we picked 1917. Get my clicker going here. All right, so then, that framework supports the structure of what we're looking at in 1917. And we went through that, and this is an amazing. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to show you how you use the timeline series from the past. So now, if someone says, what do you think this means for us today? I don't have to tell you what Tom thinks. You know what I do? I say, go back and take a look at this series, The Day of the Lord. In the Day of the Lord takes the framework, like all that structures, and it takes the pieces of the framework out and builds the scripture that supports the framework. That makes sense? So then you've got what Christ says. He says the Word of God is built upon the prophets and the apostles and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So you really don't want to know what I think. What I do is point you to what God says. What does he think? That's where we moved. That's the incredible thing about the 7 years timeline series. And it's like 60 hours of information. And so when we go through like today, I can look at it and we can see like there's prophecy, there's Haggai. So God prophesied through the book of Haggai that this was going to take place on a specific day. And in 1917, I believe it's December 8th, I don't see it into this one here, or December 9th or 8th. But anyway, and when you march that to God's Hebrew calendar, it is a specific day. And on that specific day, prophesied in the book of Haggai, the arrows just moved out. And they walked right in unopposed. That was 400 years that the Ottoman Turks had controlled that land. Why was that important? Because God gave us the former, back when he told Abraham, he said, your seed are going to be sojourners at 400 years. He said, but I'm going to bring them back. That was 400 years to the day. 30 years later, they marched and controlled their own nation. Just like with the children of Israel, 430 years later. You see how the framework was? The nuts and bolts is all there. You don't have to guess. It's all laid out from Scripture, built on the prophets of the old. All we have to do is understand what God gave us. And that's the difference, is being able to discern what God has already given to make sense of how it applies today. That is so important, all right? Now, with that, let's go on. Now, the preparation. Now, this is going to get real exciting for you, the preparation. This year, I tell you, I mentioned before, I said, I honestly didn't know where to go with my sermons. Because I had spent 7 years driven to line out all those different pieces of a puzzle. So finally, at the piece of the puzzle, I left off with, we're at the time for warning for the churches, but I said, I don't know how to go warn all the churches. You know, we're a little bitty church. They said, who's this little young guy going to, you know, I wish I was young, but this little bitty church. I mean, who do you think he is? You know, we've been to colleges. We got universities. We got ministers. We got big buildings. We got all kinds of stuff. We just built a $1 million studio. And I'm saying, yeah, but they're missing a point. I said, who would listen to us? So I really prayed hard about this. Well, I don't need to worry about it anymore. God got the attention. God definitely got the attention. But as you see, the story was told even till today where we are now. So now, let's look at this approaching same timeline. Now just change the top set approaching the first seal. right, approaching the first seal. All right, so now we have the same timeline going up. We're building it. Now I'm putting in what we brought in from the day of the Lord. I honestly believe, Tom will tell me if I'm wrong or not, but I my interpretation from what I'm reading, if I'm discerning this correctly, when you put all this together, if you put through the sermon on the stars and you put the day of the Lord together, I believe what we were looking at in 2017 was the beginning of the end. The beginning is called the day of the Lord. And you see that in Revelation 1, verse 10. Then I move to 2020. And what happens in Revelation 2 and 3? It's the warning to the churches. Now, if the churches were not preaching warning, and a lot wasn't, and believe me, a lot of them didn't want to preach prophecy. We're tired of hearing prophecy. We've heard prophecy all our life. We don't want to talk about end time. You're just scaring the children. It's been this way. It's always going to be this way. We got plenty of time. And I heard it from many, 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 many people in the churches. They didn't want to hear it. They just did not want to hear it. But I bet they want to hear it now. So I believe what I was incapable of doing as one human being, God did, because he said it ain't going to be by power of might. It's going to be by my Holy Spirit. God's got the attention of this entire world. But they don't know it's from God. And they still think they're going to buy their way out of this. So now we got 2020, the coronavirus. Now what else I put up? 2024. Why? That's an election time coming up. Then we got 2028. Why is that there? That's another election time. Because the leadership of this nation is moving it where it wants it. That's what's going on right now, whether we realize it or not. So now, between now, because we're marching to the first seal, and to the time Christ comes, from here to here, all of this has to happen. All of that has to happen. So what comes next? The first seal. According to the book of Revelation. God goes to John. John says, he says, you're in the day of the Lord when you get this vision, John says, in chapter 1. It isn't later, it's there. He's in the day of the Lord. It covers the entire book of Revelation. And Revelation does what we're doing here. Revelation takes the plan, pulls out each chapter, gives us the structure, then goes back to the Old Testament with the prophets and applies them. That's what we're doing. So now, if we're talking about what comes next, and we're looking at the first seal, what did I just bring up? Roaring seas. There's a series there that tells us what's going to happen when this starts. The roaring seas. Luke 21, 25, one of the most important verses in the New Testament telling us what's going on. We go through that, and I think it's three sermons, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's three. It might even be four sermons. We go through the specifics of what that verse means, sea and waves roaring. So as you see in these two boxes that I just brought up, the first box got a circle around waves. The second one's got a circle around roaring. Waves means, this is an amazing story, that wave means like to be pregnant. And so when you're pregnant, the Bible talks about a man being in travail, like giving birth. The word here, the waves, means that when these things begin to happen, first seal, second seal, they're going to happen sooner, more frequent, and greater intensity. By the time you get to the fourth seal, 25% of this planet is destroyed and human beings are gone. You realize how fast that has to happen when it starts? You think you got trouble now because you're stuck inside. We haven't seen anything. The next is roaring. In other words, it's going to be so loud, this information will be so disturbing, you won't be able to think. You won't be able to concentrate. So here what God's told us, knowing we're going to move into this period, he's revealed it through roaring seas of that one verse. And I mentioned, if you go back, and I'm pretty honest when I didn't know. It was like I worked all this time around that one verse. It was like I never seen the second half of the verse. Like it was totally hidden from me. And then one day I'm reading it and I'm sort of like, sea waves roaring. I was like, what does that mean? Then I started looking and then all of a sudden in my mind, all this stuff just opened up. And then it was like I couldn't get it down on paper fast enough. Because that's the information that when this happens, and you need to understand this, from where we are today, When that first one happens, you got time to prepare. But when it happens, it's going to happen. Move. It's going to move. God don't tell us how fast. But according to what this scripture means, it's going to be like childbirth. They're going to come more sooner and sooner and sooner. So now, we move our time to the first seal. All right. So what comes next? Well, the first seal. And we just told you once that seal happens, what takes place. So now, what are we looking at? Between now and then, that first seal is what? Deception. False Christ. Remember that little picture I had up over here at the Vatican? What you're looking at is God giving you time to get your mind ready to prove all things so that you will not be deceived when this happens, because it's going to be so powerful. He said it was going to deceive even the elect if it was possible. Conceive the whole world is what's going to take place. This is a very critical time for the believer between now and the first seal. So when things settle back down again, don't go back to normal. You keep the sense of urgency up. You prepare harder now than you ever prepared to be closer to God than you've ever been. That's the only thing that's going to get you through this. No amount of money, no amount of power. It's your connection to God and His mercy in protecting you. So now, let's move that out the way, and let's cover what God has just showed us. The critical period of time for the believer. One, Matthew 24:24, there will be false Christs, false prophets, and he shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And believe me, there's a lot of people today who read in Scripture, and they say, oh, I know what that means, and they're creating theology that doesn't exist. They're creating scenarios that's impossible to happen. They're buying into, they go online and they'll find some new truth, ever learning, and it's a bunch of lies. But it's going to get worse because, see, they're going to have great signs. These are people going to do like miracles out there. And they're going to do them like they're doing them of God. They say, oh, that must be of God. It's got to be of God. No, it doesn't have to be of God. God said a house divided won't stand. 2 Thessalonians 2 says, because they received not a love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. In other words, if you've been given the truth and you throw it away, God's going to let you be out there. You've got to want to maintain the truth. The other amazing story about all the information and all the stuff that we're bringing out that people don't know, I didn't change anything what we understood, basically. Maybe they didn't have a day of the Lord correct at the right time. But the basic foundational structure for salvation, we never changed one thing, not one thing. Where people are trying to do that today. So now, confronting false Christ, how do you do that? Look at Amos 3, verse 7. It says, surely the Lord will do nothing but he reveal his secret to his servants, the prophets. That's you and I. Prophets today times talking about people who are inspired by God to speak. All right, that's what that means today. So now, the question is, how will you know? Somebody comes to you and says, oh, I got this great new information. Man, wait, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. And chances are, no, I'm not going to believe it. If it doesn't fit what God's already understood, that he's not building on the truth you already know, then you got a real problem. And second, who can you trust to be telling you the truth? That's why I'm saying, you don't want to trust Tom. You want to go into the Bible. In this timeline series doesn't go you what Tom says. We bring you back and let the Bible tell you. And I'll tell you if I give you an interpretation. And like I said, I believe, that was my interpretation, that those heavenly signs was the day of the Lord. But I've got about 6 hours of information in to tell you where I come up with that understanding. Now, if it ain't right, well, then I'll have to repent and change later. But until then, nothing else makes any sense when you look at what God did before and today. So, false Christ, this is the most critical time right now leading up to the first seal for the believer. Now, a lot of people think today that this coronavirus is the beginning of the seals. But I'm going to show you something today that I don't believe it is. I do not believe it is, and I'm going to show you why. Not from my opinion. I'm going to lay you out scripture and so you can see and you make your own decision. We're told in numerous places that we should not put our trust in mankind. And you shouldn't. All right? But at the same time, you're also told in Romans 10 How shall they know and to believe whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, so God says, look, you put no trust in the man, but I'm going to use the man to bring you information. It's pretty cool. That means it's up to you. You got to go prove it. Is he lying to you or not? That means you got to know the scriptures. You got to have your foundation on truth, and you got to not only just have it, you got to love it. That means that sometimes people in your own family, in your own church, your own congregation, who's going to give you a new doctrine that ain't true, you're going to have to just walk away from that and have them mad at you. And that's happening all over the country right now. And how should they preach except they be sent? So there are going to be people that God is using to reveal information, knowledge, and understanding. And there's going to be those who are not being used, who think they are and come up with their own interpretations. So here's a question. How will you know if they're sent or what they were told? 1 Thessalonians 5:21, you prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. It's that simple. You're just going to have the foundation and understanding of the truth. In Matthew 24, he says, many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. False teachers and prophets. It's going to be a point that it goes from beyond where we are now until when you get to that first seal. I mean, you get the big league false prophets coming in. I mean, that's the Pope's coming in. He's going to have you name it, they're going to be out there. I'm going to a whole new era, take too much time. All right, so now, Matthew 7, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravaging wolves. Matthew 24:24. False Christ, false prophets, showing you great signs and wonders. We read that just a few minutes ago. So God spends a lot of time warning us before that first seal takes place. He says there's going to be all of this going on. When we went back to 2014, 2015, they had the blood moon tetrads. There was no end of false prophets out there. It was the end of the world, everybody kept saying. It was crazy what was going on. But that's nothing compared to what's coming. Now, who do you believe? Right? This is really, really important. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain to life. Now, this is amazing what I'm about to tell you. It's really simple, but it's so simple, it's just like it was over our heads. Whatever God wants you to know for salvation, all right, he's already given to us. That's why when God told Daniel that go away, Daniel, it's sealed to the days of the end, the information that he sealed wasn't going to do Daniel any good. He didn't need it because he already had everything he needed for salvation. The generation that will be living when that information takes place, they're the ones who needs it. That's why God is revealing those things today. They didn't understand in the past. All right, going on. Hebrews 1. God said at sundry times and in diverse manners spoken in the times past by the fathers and the prophets. He has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So if someone comes to you today and says, you know, God spoke to me last night. I usually ask audibly. Some people say, yeah. Now, you might have heard an audible voice. But if I'm going to stay in Scripture, and I don't mean to be rude or obnoxious or put anybody down, but if I'm going to stay in Scripture, I have to be. God says he used that method in the past to the prophets in the days of old. He spoke to them one-on-one. He says he has in these last days spoken to us through his Son, his Word. This is his holy Word. So now, if he's given everything we need to know, this is the amazing thing, and he doesn't speak to us audibly, then everything we need to know is already there. That means everything that's going to be happening, he's going to unlock those scriptures and lead us to those scriptures because they're already given. All right, going on. He says, and last of all, this is from the Apostle Paul, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Paul says, look, I'm the last one to see Christ. I'm an apostle. Did I see Christ? He's the last one to see him. And so from that time to today, we have no record from Scripture anywhere. Even John in Revelation, he was in vision. And so Paul says, last he was seen of me. So if you stay in the Scripture, you could be speaking to from, I don't know, any number of ways you feel like you can hear voices. And you could be, but God says he doesn't speak to us audibly anymore. Now, I know I'm going to get mail. And people are going to be upset because they believe they hear God talking to them. I understand that. But I'm going to stand on this. You know, that's where I'm going to stand. So then how does he talk to us then? By what means does he talk to the believer today? Each one of us feel we're being led by God, right? And you should be. All right, so how does he lead the believer? Says, now, everything we know to be saved has already been given. That means everything that we need to know has already been written for us. Amos 3:7, we just read that. Surely the Lord will do nothing but he reveal his secrets to his servants, the prophets. That means he speaks to us. How? How does he communicate today? Look at Acts 2. It shall come to pass that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. So God not only speaks to us through his spirit, which empowers us to understand through our mind, and you can see things through your mind, and you can communicate your feelings and your emotions to him, and you can feel that back, but you don't hear it back, but you can feel the audible because you're being led by the Holy Spirit, which is God's hand working within you and in your mind and in your heart to lead you where he wants. So now, when he wants us to do something, he says he will inspire people to prophesy through visions and dreams. Through visions and dreams. And that's how God's going to do it. He doesn't say, I'm going to come talk to him like I did in the past, because he just told us, I don't do that way no more. So look what Daniel says. Look at Daniel. It says, and these four children, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams. So that means that in the end time, there will people who will have visions and dreams. They will see things and understand things that God has placed in their minds, but there will be some who will be able to understand what they mean, and others won't. Because God says he's going to do that. That doesn't mean everyone's going to have it. All four were great in wisdom and knowledge and understanding, but only one was understanding of dreams and visions. Daniel 12. So he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are sealed to the time of the end. And even if you have a dream or a vision, you may never know what it means till God unseals it down the road. You get a real problem if you try to make yourself understand, well, this must be what it means. And you don't apply it to the prophets of the past and to Christ's holy word. If you just say, well, I know what that means, out of feeling, then you got what you did. You don't have the love of the truth anymore. You have an emotion. All right, let's go on. God reveals to us through what he has already done. That's another way he communicates to us. Whatever he has done, He will do again. He says, go see what I did if you want to know what I'm going to do. One way is by unsealing understanding. 1 Corinthians 10. Now all these things happen to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon who the ends of the world are come. See, Paul thought the ends of the world was coming in his day. So when he read what God recorded in the past, he said those were given for us. So how did God communicate to Paul through here? By what he already did. How did God communicate to us? By what he already did. See? You don't have to ask me, what do you think? I don't know. Let's go see what God did. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. That means if you say, oh, I know what that means, and you don't use this, you're probably going to have a problem. Isaiah 41:22, show us all things that will happen by what has already... Oops, let me back that up. God shows us what will happen by what has already happened. Believe it or not, that entire series we've been doing on the timeline, that's what that does, by the way. It goes back to what God did. All right, let's go on now. So how does God communicate to us? Let's go on. It should come to pass, this is in Acts 2, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men will see visions, old men shall dream dreams. All right, so that's where we are today. John 14. The Comforter which is in you, which is the Holy Spirit, the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance. How else does it communicate to us? He takes what you already learned. When it's important to understand where you're going, he will bring it to remembrance. He'll bring it to remembrance. You ever start talking to somebody and then all of a sudden all the stuff is in your head and you just, boom, you just spout out to people and they say, wow, I never knew that. And you had no idea you were going to say that? That's God's Holy Spirit doing that inside you. He brings to remembrance what you already know. But he can't bring to remembrance what you have not learned. That's why you have this period of time now to get ready. You need to learn it. You need to be locked down. So when someone gives you a false doctrine, get rid of it quickly. And hopefully you can tell the person who brings it to you it's not right. But I'm going to tell you something. People who's got a pet doctrine, they get really mad when you don't buy it. They really get mad at you. I mean, I've gotten people who got so violent, I thought they were going to hit me. I really did. All right, Lincoln's leadership. Now, what I'm going to do here, I'm keeping up my time. Lincoln's leadership. I got a video here I gave Jeff that we played it before. This was actually recorded when we were doing the Constitution of Christian. Never realizing that it's more important for this sermon than the Constitution of Christian. It's about 4.5 minutes long. Let's play that video, Jeff.
No one can read Lincoln's writings and miss the fact that he was a man who clearly believed that he was president for such a time as this. He understood that there was something more going on than the politics of the day, that he had a purpose that was bigger than himself, and it was to save the Union, and it was to bring freedom and liberty and also equality to people who had been enslaved. But it was based on Scripture. It was based on his understanding of what the Bible taught him, the difference between right and wrong. I think one of the most amazing things is to go to the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, read the inscriptions. You know, the most powerful things he said in the second inaugural address are just the great quotes that Lincoln had. You cannot read those and say, well, we're just a secular nation and there is no room in our country for a discussion of God. Well, there's always been up until recent days. And Lincoln believed that God was directing him to lead the country to make a clear moral statement about slavery. It was not a political statement, a moral statement. And he never backed away from it.
Perhaps the most famous prayer proclamation in history, in American history, is this one. This is Abraham Lincoln calling for a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. And in it, he is just God conscious. He says, we've been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown, but we've forgotten God. We've forgotten the gracious hand that preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We vainly imagine in the deceitfulness of our hearts that these blessings were produced by our own superior wisdom and virtue. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we've become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. And after that, the Union only lost two more battles. Before that, they only won two battles.
Approximately 25 years earlier, before he became the President of the United States, in an address that is called the Lyceum Address, he warned that if this nation would ever fall, it would have to come from within.
Shall we expect the approach of danger? Shall we expect some transatlantic military giant to step the ocean and crush us at a blow? Never. All the armies of Europe, Asia, and Africa combined with all the treasure of the earth in their military chest, with a Bonaparte for a commander, could not by force take a drink from the Ohio or make a track on the Blue Ridge. A trial of 1,000 years. At what point then is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reaches us, It must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide.
The entire nation. And there's no on the horizon to do that. All right, now, let's go on. Ezekiel 22. The prophet Ezekiel was sent to the house of Israel after Israel was captive already. And Ezekiel, God says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge to stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. That ought to send chills in our bone when you look at the next election for what's coming. Right now we've had a reprieve that will not continue. Ezekiel 2, verses 3 through 5, God says, Son of man, I send you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation, for they have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even to this very day. For they're impudent children, stiff-hearted. I do send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet they shall know that a prophet has been among them. And that is the calling of the work of God today, because this nation will not listen. In the middle of this pandemic, they fight to continue for abortion, to kill babies. Unbelievable what's going on today. And we believe that we can buy our way out of this without God's intervention. And they will get by for a little while. Understanding the timeline. I should not even have that up there. But too late to change it. But under there, what I have is two warnings times. The time for the house of God and the second for the world. First Peter talks about if the world, you know, is, in other words, the judgment begins at the house of God today. And he says, if it begins with us, what will happen to the rest of the world that's going through? So now when reading Revelation, it appears that the warning for the churches does come before the first seal begins. Now this is when I would have brought this up, but if I come out and fix it now, I may lose the stream, so I don't want to mess that up. All right, so maybe we can fix that and post edit and put it online and get that corrected. But the answer for what we're talking about is in this series, is in the Day of the Lord Revisited series, and that's where it was going to with that box. So when reading Revelation, it appears that those warnings of the churches come before the seals, and it seems to be pretty obvious. See, there's the same timeline that we brought into what we're looking at today. So if I did an overlay and understood what those seals were, you have the first four seals, then you have 3.5-year tribulation period, then you have three more seals, then the trumpets, and then you have the last seven plagues. All of that fitting into a very small timeline in the history of 7,000 years, very small period of time. So when you see roaring seas, you see things have to come rapidly and building higher and more painful as time goes on. So now, let's see what we've been saying. So now, when you look at the first seal, that's in chapters 6. We begin chapter 6 where that's at. So chapter 2 and 3, you see the warning to the churches. In chapter 1, you see John is in the day of the Lord. So all of this is taking place. So now between here, the day of the Lord, right over here, all the way to the first seal, whatever period of time God gives us, that's your preparation time. God's judging the house of God to get ready for that first seal. Because when that first seal unleashes, now some people say today's the first seal with this virus, but I'm going to show you why I don't think it is. All right, it goes all the way through the end of Revelation. So now, in the past, the church has isolated those two chapters as if they're not a part of the sequence of Revelation. In fact, many of them think that it's a seven churches over a period of 2,000 years that's been taking place. But they existed contemporaneously. That's an argument they can argue later on. But if you take these two out, it makes no sense what John's telling us. So now, understanding all of that and understanding the coming captivity when all this begins to take place, because that's eventually where it goes. Isaiah 11 says, "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people." That simply means what it says. That means if he's going to have to go gather his people again, that means they're in captivity again. When was the first time? It was the time in Israel. From that time, Israel, the nations, the lost tribes of Israel, have never been recovered. Right? So he gathered them out of Egypt, and he's going to go gather them again. So now he's going to go gather them from the four corners of the earth. So the coronavirus leading up to this has accomplished three things. It's eventually going to lead us to a captivity. How does it do that? One, it is the warning and the wake-up time for the church. Two, it is the beginning of the first phase of captivity for our nation. It's called economic removal. And three, it lays the groundwork for the second phase of removal. So what do I mean by that? Well, we actually, believe it or not, there's actually a series that explains all of that. So what was the former for ancient Israel? The Assyrians came from the north to destroy Israel. Right? That's history. Right? Israel bought them off by paying tribute. The first wave of captivity came in, they paid tribute. How are we getting rid of this virus? We throw money at it. We got doctors, we got scientists, you got everybody in the world out there. Trillions of dollars trying to buy off this virus. In the meantime, it's leaving us economically poverty. It is the first phase of the removal has begun. Look what Donald Trump says. I want all Americans to understand that we are at war. Israel was at war with the Assyrians. Rather than be destroyed, they gave them their money. The wealth of Israel was gone. The wealth of America. You can't put out $6, $8, $10 trillion and think you still got a wealthy nation. It doesn't exist. Today I got the first bomb of people saying, listen, this is going to enter really, really bad. What we're going through. Everybody says it's going to be great. No, it's not. Eventually, it's going to get bad. Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. What did Donald Trump say? Back to the screen. An invisible enemy. Our war is an invisible enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It couldn't be any more typesetting than what's just been said. You are at war. It's a civil war that's coming. It's an invisible enemy. It's coming from the Vatican. Right, this is just the preparing for the next war. We brought this out in 1776, the series, The Rebirth of Israel. We asked Jeff today to put that into the series timeline of where we're at. Israel goes into captivity in three different ways. And you can go back, and I won't have the time to read it all, but Frederick Haberman wrote, tracing our ancestry, he showed how there was three phases of going into captivity. So I've got here this, the timeline I'm just going to show. The first phase, second phase, and third phase. They come out of captivity the same way, 1776, 1803, and believe it or not, 1789. Now, I know the Constitution was in 1787, but it did not fully go into place till the last one signed the paperwork was in 1789. Believe it or not, that's 2,520 years. That's the time that God said there would be 7 times 7 punishment. That brings you out the way they went in captivity, they came out of captivity. So here's what's amazing. The first wave of captivity is the removal of the wealth of Israel. We're seeing that right now. The second is the beginning of the loss of their governance. And third is the beginning of their loss of identity. You and I will go through the same three phases. They went back the same way. They're restoring the wealth, restoring the governance, and beginning the fulfilling the destiny. So now, let's put that into place today. Back on the timeline, understanding all this, this is the third type. Remember, I told you it would be three times on the timeline. This is the third type of how all this plays. We haven't changed a thing. Focus on a different aspect of that. So now, ancient Israel goes into three waves. All right, from 2017, we move it to today. The virus comes in, and then incredible amount of economic captivity. The removal of the wealth by a foreign nation. China. The virus came out of China. And they've actually spent over $6 trillion already. to get this thing fixed, just this nation alone. The second wave, giving up on national governance. Why did I leave 2024 up there? Because if the left gets in, they said they're going to support the world governing body and let them rule some of us. That's the same. When you see this happen, when that takes place, now we can understand, looking forward, what God has already given. When we move to this phase, when the liberal, it could happen in 2020 still. I don't think so, because I think the timeline is still solid so far. But 2024, there's no way that you're going to get another Republican in and stay conservative. There won't be enough votes out there for that. But once they move into the left, to allow us to be governed by the UN, their mandate, rather than the Constitution, you have just moved into the second phase of captivity, whether you realize it or not. Your freedoms will be gone, little by little, just like with Israel. Third wave, well, it's going to have to make war with the saints. The removal of Israel. That's where it's all headed to, by the way. That's where it's all heading to. All right, so now we'll begin to wrap this up. Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent, and he signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And I'm telling you today, I believe what God is giving us today, and what I shared with you today, fulfills that verse. I believe God is revealing this to his church. I couldn't make all this stuff up. It's impossible to make it up. Because you have to document it through history. You have to document it through the prophets. But what God has blessed our work to be able to do is to unveil and put it out on the timeline where now it begins to make sense. So not only does it begin to make sense, it tells us where we're going and what to look for next. So when it happens, we'll be ready. It doesn't tell us when it's going to happen. It just tells us it's going to happen. Going on. Verse 3. Blessed is he that reads, that they hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. And again, I reiterate, blessed are you if you hear these words, because I believe the time is at hand. I don't see any other way to get around that myself. Verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. He writes to the seven churches after he's in the vision, in the day of the Lord. Not through the period of 2,000 years with successive churches one after another. They're there at the same time. So why has God sent them to the churches? Because God needs to use, you don't need to, that's a really bad word, I do that all the time. Because God chooses to use the churches to warn the world. And to do that, what we have to do, we have to clean ourselves up. That means our churches, all of us, need to repent before God that we have not been diligent in doing what we need to do. Every church, including ours, has flaws and problems. We need to get corrected. I know I constantly am repenting before God. You know, I'll get things and people will write to me. Sometimes I get very upset with some of it. And I just got to put it aside and just maybe the next day I'll come back to it or 2 days later and try to give them a sound answer and a solid answer. But they're attacks. They're vicious sometimes. Can't believe some of the stuff that I just can't believe. There was one day that's all I got. All day long was people just attacking things. It was unbelievable. And I knew I was in the holy days because that's when they came. But anyway, I just settled back down again. Revelation 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet, God says. So there we have part two of Lessons from Lincoln. I've got a lot more to say on this subject, and I think I can wrap it up in one more sermon. So in 2 weeks, I'll be back with part three on Lessons from Lincoln. So if you get this sermon, you can go online. It'll be available by tomorrow or by tonight, I think. But it may be online. If not, write in for it because you need to understand what's going on here. Because now this series begins to make sense of all the others. And so be diligent, hold fast, and don't let anyone deceive you. So until next time, God be with you. We'll be right back.